Lincoln City Council meeting is here Thursday, October 3rd, 2024, and it is 6 p.m. We will start with the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Pastor Nelson.
This is a reading from Psalm 8. O Lord, our sovereign, how majestic is your name in all the earth. You set your glory above the heavens. Out of the mouths of babes and infants, you founded a bulwark because of your foes, to silence the enemy and the avenger. When I look at your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars that you have established, what are human beings that you are mindful of them, mortals that you care for them? Yet you have made them a little lower than God and crowned them with glory and honor. You have given them dominion over the works of your hands. You put all things under their feet, all sheep and oxen, and also the beasts of the field, the birds of the air, and the fish of the sea, whatever passes along the paths of the seas. O Lord, our sovereign, how majestic is your name in all the earth. Let's pray. Lord God, you've created all that exists, including all forms of government. We pray, Lord, that you'd be present here at this meeting this evening to guide the leaders of this community and to guide its citizens, to be with us, to guide us and lead us and comfort us. We ask that you would place in our mouths the words that uplift one another and that find healing, health, and well-being. We pray, Lord, that you'd be with the leaders of this community, that they will serve these citizens of this community in the best of their ability to advance your design and your plan for the city of Lincoln. We pray all this in your precious name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. And Auditor Wilson, if you'd do the roll call, please.
Prasca?
Here.
Arcavio?
Here.
Davis?
Here.
Brunstad?
Here.
And Mayor Berglund?
Here. On the agenda approval,
I would like to amend the agenda. I would like to add the September payables and remove the August statement. The August statement is almost completed.
Okay, and I also would like to amend the agenda under new business to include open records request and the exempt.
I need some direction from the council on how to handle some exempt records.
I would like that maybe number 16.
Make a motion to approve the amended agenda.
We have the first by Councilman Davis. Is there a second?
I'll second.
And a second. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? And so moved. Next on the agenda is public comment period. If you have public comments for those items that are on the agenda, please step to the podium. Second call for public comment. Third and final call for public comment.
Are these for any of the items?
For any item on the agenda.
Nice. No, I got it.
What number is that?
11.
And please state your name.
Scott Westergaard.
Okay,
411, there was quite a few questions that were raised from the letter itself. We were given 15 days from the time that it was given to, that it was voted on for our variance for another driveway, that we were going to buy. The lots next to us don't have a driveway to get to our building that we wanted to do, or he wants to do, I want to do, live across the street. So we put in a variance request, and that was submitted and accepted for another driveway once we incorporated it into one lot. So it would only, it would have been another building, a garage, next to our house, because our garages are on the other side. So there was no way to get to that unless we put a driveway in. So we had, we were accepted, and then we received a letter about a month later saying that we were not, due to not being a hardship. But the letter was dated, we had 15 days. The letter dated September 10th, they're not timestamped. The letter didn't go out until the 26th from the city. So we were past our 15 days of appeal on that. So according to these dates, we don't even know when it was submitted. No timestamp. And then it's addressed to whom it may concern, not to variance board, not the city council, but to whom it may concern. That could be to you, to anybody. So this letter is really not even legal, according to my lawyer, and for that. And then the for the hardship, I mean, we can go down that road. There's a lot of different ways. I'm 100% disabled. It is a hardship for that also. So, and then it adds in here, the city engineer did not accept or approve of this recommendation. That was the first deal before we had talked to him about incorporating it into one lot instead of having just that lot that we were going to purchase and put a building and a driveway on that, which a driveway would be on it anyway because they're going to build, put a house there if they wanted to. So a driveway would be there anyways, no matter what. So going forward, I guess when we do, what do you guys want to do about this? I guess you guys did it. You were on the board on it. I think you were talking to the staff about it also. So, I mean, if there's any questions about the building that we want to put on after we incorporate the lot, you know, it's all by code. We have to put in about 6 feet of fill just to get the building up to our lot because it's a drainage ditch basically right now. And then there will be more taxes because it would be bigger lot. So, do you have any questions?
I don't at this time. I know we'll talk more about it when we get to item number 11, unless council wants to do that now.
I would recommend that we just handle the appeal as part of the agenda item.
Right.
And you'll be given an opportunity to have that discussion at that time as well.
Let's talk that.
Yeah,
exactly. Sounds good.
I'm Heidi Hilsendegger. I am one of the owners of the lots in question for the appeal on agenda number 11. The beauty of having a new development come into your community is that there are some opportunities for to fill some of the needs that some of your members don't, your community members can't be met by right now. So we bring in a new development, we figure out what the community needs, and then that gives you the opportunity to adjust that development as it's needed. These lots in question are not great lots. There would probably never be a house built on them because of the situation of what they're at. So those lots could just sit there and look like a drainage ditch for years while we build out that development. Or these gentlemen could make them nice, have them match their homes. There'd be a driveway on there at some point if we were to put a house there. So the question is, what do we want to do with these lots as a development and as part of your community? So I'd like to open up the discussion at some point with the developers of that development and answer those questions and help you come up with a pathway for some of these adjustments that maybe some of your community members might need for these lots. They are smaller than average. There are lots, this is part of a new development. They're connecting them to an old development or an older development where the homes are already existing. Their driveways are on the opposite side of where these driveways would be for these lots. So they do not have access to their own garages then, if they put a garage that matches their home and makes this lot look like a better lot than what it is now. So just something I'd like you to consider, and I mean, we're willing to open up the pathway. Let's have a chat and let's see if we can't figure something out. Thank you.
Thank you. Anyone else for a public comment? Public comment? Third and final call. Okay, public comment period is over. Number 7 on the agenda is the consent agenda with the amendment for September payables and removal of the August statement.
Make a motion to approve the consent agenda.
We have a motion by Councilman Davis. Second?
I second that motion.
Second by Councilman Artavia. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? And so moved. Number 8 under old business, the sewer regionalization easement proposal update. That would be Attorney Rodney.
Madam Mayor. So Greg and I are attempting to set up conference calls with the landowners that we have not yet had contact with concerning the easements. And Greg is working with the City of Bismarck to get a final decision from the city about the easement across the city's property, and those conversations are ongoing. As I've mentioned to the council previously, one of the issues has to do with compensation for the easements. I previously indicated that trying to determine whether it was possible to get the easements, provide compensation without appraisals, and I don't think that's going to be feasible or possible. I'm very uncomfortable with negotiating with landowners over value for easements, and to have those negotiations be consistent and be based on something other than what I think the value should be or what the council thinks the value should be. Previously in July, I had visited with Corey Cost from Dakota Appraisal about putting together an estimate for completing these appraisals. I provided you with a copy of that. My recommendation is the city needs to move forward with appraisals for the easements so that we have some basis for valuation. One of the concerns is what we've been told is that one or more of the landowners might not be anxious to provide easements. And so at some point the city might find itself in some kind of litigation posture, in which case we would need appraisals as well for that. I don't know that we're going to get there, and certainly don't want to prejudge how our discussions will go. But my recommendation is that we need to keep this project moving, and I think that we're going to need to have appraisals done on the land. What you have in front of you is a proposal from Dakota Appraisal. Dakota Appraisal, at the time, Joe Ibach, I think, was more involved. Mr. Ibach, I think, did the appraisals for the city of some of this land or similar land as part of the Lanshagen litigation a few years ago. So there's some familiarity with the city and the land that's being appraised. As indicated, the estimated fee is between $35,000 and $50,000, and there's going to be a request for a $25,000 retainer. What I would like is approval of the council to move forward with a formal proposal from Dakota Appraisal that the council can consider.
I have a question. I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
Do we need to put an RFP out because this exceeds?
this is kind of a specialized service, so I don't think it's necessary to put an RFP out. We certainly can, if it's something the council would like to get more than one opinion on. I had reached out to Dakota Appraisal because it had been involved in the Lance Hagen litigation, and my understanding is the court in that matter came very close to the valuation that this firm provided as part of that litigation. So I thought that with that background, that might be helpful in getting this resolved.
My only question, attorney and council, mayor, is this a one-time fee for this easement, or would it be like a yearly, or how does that work?
Once
or haven't we figured that yet? Sorry.
Madam Mayor, Councilman Davis. Once the city has acquired the easement and paid for them, then the city will have owned the easement. There's no ongoing fee. The difficulty is the city would be asking the property owner to give the city part of the property owner's rights to that property, and the city should provide some kind of compensation. At least that would be my expectation.
Okay. Thank you very much, attorney. Any other questions? Comments? I would like to make a motion to approve the Dakota Appraisal for the appraisal proposal on the sewer regionalization project.
All right, we have a first from Councilman Davis. Is there a second?
I'll second.
We have a second from Councilman Bjornstad. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? And can we get a roll call on that, please? Bjornstad?
Aye.
Davis?
Yes.
Artavia?
Yes.
Yes.
Thank you, and we will, Greg and I will work with them to try to manage the cost, and if we can avoid raising all of it or do it in some way that keeps the cost low, we certainly try to do that.
Thank you. Next on the agenda, number 9, Moon Ridge Drainage.
Madam Mayor, members of the council, Greg and I met this week and discussed the status of where we are with the Moon Ridge drainage issues. One of the issues with this development is some of the drainage is public right-of-way, involving the city's right-of-way. Some of the drainage is on private property the landowners have. Greg and I are trying to determine what parts of the drainage is within the city's jurisdiction and what parts are really a private matter between the landowners in that development. I need to do some additional research on that, and my expectations will have a plan for the next meeting on the path forward.
Thank you. Questions? Number 10, the mixer for the older water tower, change order approval.
Mayor and council members, so for the old water tower, we need to have the mixer essentially replaced for that. And part of the goal is with the new reservoir, we want to match the mixers, the manufacturer, so everything is interchangeable, makes things easier from a public work standpoint for work down the road. I know this kind of came up here in the past month. I haven't been as directly involved with that, but if you don't mind, I'd ask Mr. Porter to speak to it a little bit more and get more information on it. So.
Thank you. And your name again?
Yep, Michael Gorder with Moore Engineering. So, been involved with this water tank project throughout the year here. We had a walkthrough about 2 months ago for the new tank, and it occurred to Terry and I that there's not a mixer in the existing tank that's to stay out there. There's two tanks out there right now. One's going to be demolished, and then obviously we built a new one. So there's going to be two tanks to stay. The existing one does not have a mixer. We got a quote from the prime contractor out there to install a new mixer out there, the same manufacturer and supplier and electrician that is installing the new mixer and the new tank. So that quote is in front of you. It's a $27,000 change order. It's very reasonable. I contacted the city of what they want to do. I contacted the two funding agencies that are in this project. One is the Drinking Water State Revolving Fund and the Department of Water Resources. They have no problem with accepting this change order since it wasn't planned to have a new mixer installed. They said it's okay because we're under budget. So we're all squared. It's a water project. It falls into the realm of, you know, water works. So we got funding agency approval, and then Monty kind of reached out, you know, like, do we need to bid this according to city ordinances? Going out to bid, I mean, it's whatever the city ordinances says, if whatever your attorney wants and states, but we'd go up to bids to get the same mixer that we got a quote from, and more than likely it's going to be the same electrician that gives us a quote to install. Since they're the one out there installing the control panel anyway, I don't think another electrician wants to come in there and install something that was installed by somebody else too. So it's really up to you guys on what you guys want to do and what Monty suggests. But that's kind of the backstory of what came about on this mixer. And I think it's a good idea for the tank to have a mixer and to get 60% funding through the Department of Water Resources if we could. Would just be a good deal for the city if we could run it through the project, or if we needed to do a bidding process and do it separately. So that's where we stand right now.
It doesn't appear that we actually have that paperwork. Do you?
It's
it's the
27,000, right?
Yep, 27,000. Yep. Okay.
266.
Yep.
So do you need a motion for that?
We will need a motion to approve that.
I'll make a motion to approve the order for the mixer, the water tower.
I would second that motion. We have a first by Councilman Davis, second by Councilman Frasca. Any discussion? All in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? And we'll need a roll call.
Frasca?
Yes.
Artavio?
Yes.
Davis?
Yes.
And Beristed?
Aye.
Thank you. Number 11 on the agenda is the variance appeal. And
maybe I can set this up, if that's okay. Madam Mayor, members of the council. So I think maybe I'm the one who raised some of the issues with this decision by the Board of Adjustments. Issue that I think is before the city, it has to do with what is the purpose of the Board of Adjustments and what is its authority under your ordinances. And as counsel for the city, what I see my job is to try to keep the city within the four corners of what the ordinances say, and then help you change those ordinances if for some reason you're not working out to accomplish what you want to accomplish. But ultimately, the decisions on these issues are first the Board of Adjustments and then the councils. So I don't, and what I'm saying, I'm not expressing an opinion on what you should do. I'm just going to tell you what my concerns are as the city's council. The powers of the Board of Adjustment are set out in Ordinance 90602, and the purpose of a variance based on the Lincoln's Code is to vary or adjust strict application of the zoning requirements, and this is quoting from the ordinance, in case of an exceptionally irregular, narrow, shallow, or steep lot, or other exceptional physical or topographical condition by reason which the strict application
would result in an unnecessary hardship. So the purpose of the variance is, as it's written, is to say that you own a lot in the city. There's something about that lot that makes it not economically useful under the zoning code, and to give you then, the Board of Adjustments, some ability to give a variance based on the topography of the lot. The second part of that same section sets forth the findings that the Board of Adjustment is supposed to make or has to make as part of issuing a variance. And what the code section says is no adjustment in the strict application of any provision of this title, which is the zoning title, shall be granted by the board unless it finds. And in the law, when it says unless it finds, the board makes findings and they vote on them and they adopt these findings as the findings of the board. And that those findings are that there are a special circumstance or condition which is fully described in the finding of the board applying to the land or buildings for which the variance is sought. And again, that there's something particular about the land or building that justifies some exception to the city zoning. That the board is also supposed to find that absent this variance, that the owner of the lot or the applicant would not have a reasonable use of their land. And for the first time tonight, I heard that there might be some issues with this land and drainage, right? But none of that was presented to the Board of Adjustments. The Board of Adjustments didn't make any specific findings on that. And then finally, that the granting of the variance will be in harmony with the general purpose and intent of the zoning laws and not provides any injury to the neighborhood. And again, I'm not offering an opinion on any of those things except to say that the Board of Adjustments didn't make any findings on any of these things, and the ordinance seems to require that it should make these kind of findings. As far as the appeal itself, Is it Westergaard?
Yes.
Mr. Westergaard's comments about the appeal process are not quite correct. What the code says is that a city official can file an appeal as long as the appeal is filed with the city within 15 days. And then the city, under the code, is to have a hearing within 30 days on that appeal. And the applicants are to be notified that they have a right to appear at the hearing, which is what we're doing tonight. Yes,
but there is no time stamp here. Where is that at? When she sent the email or letter to the city auditor, there should have been a date and time on that letter, according to who you got in front of you also, that we did not receive on that.
My understanding is that the city received the appeal from Councilwoman Davis on the 11th of September, and that was within the 15 days. But that's a matter that the council can decide, right? So there's no judge here, there's no jury.
No.
The council's going to decide. That's an argument that can be made, and the council will decide within their discretion how to handle these issues. I'm just telling you that the ordinance says is how the timing is set out. So my concerns and the things that I think that the council should consider is, first of all, the owners of these lots did not make application. So normally in the law, if you're seeking relief, the real party in interest seeks the relief. So here, the lots themselves, the people making the application, are not the owners of the lot. Again, that's up to you to decide whether you think that's important or not, but typically, if this was a court proceeding, I couldn't go in and ask for a variance or some relief for my neighbor. I would have to say, I own the lot, I'm going to be bound by the decision, and I'm going to bring the application. Again, I don't think that's fatal to the application, but it does make it unusual. Second thing here is that there's more than one zoning ordinance in play and the Board of Adjustment recognize this. It's not just that they want a second driveway. The way your zoning is set up is you can't have a building on a single lot. So the process here is the applicants will have to acquire these lots. They will then have to seek to combine the lots because they're currently platted as two separate lots, and they'll have to get permission from the city to combine the lots, and Greg and I discussed that a little bit, the process for that. And then when they own both lots, then the impediment will be the single driveway. And so my concern was I didn't want the applicants to think that the Board of Adjustments was giving them approval for from here to the end of this process, because the city's approval is going to be needed to combine the lots to get past the other problem, which is you can't put a single building on a lot that's not a house. And so the only way to get around that is to combine the lots. Third, I'm concerned about the looseness of the city's application processes, which has nothing to do with these applicants, but the city engineer specifically indicated that these applications were incomplete when they went to the Board of Adjustments, and rather than the Board of Adjustments correcting the deficiencies in the application, they just proceeded. And I don't think that that is any way to process these applications. The applications should be complete. What your ordinances envision is that the citizen is going to have made application to the city for something, in this case, it's a second driveway. They will have a complete application. The city will say, no, our rules don't allow it, and then that complete application material is over to the Board of Adjustment, and everything is complete. And the city engineer in this case indicated that the applications weren't complete. And so, to me, the Board of Adjustments has responsibility to have a complete application so that the city has all of the paperwork, just like making the findings. Finally, the issue has to do with what the city believes this process is for. It appears to me, and I haven't been the city attorney very long, but it appears to me that the Board of Adjustment has served the role as being kind of an ad hoc arm of the city to allow on an individual basis exemptions to your zoning based on whether or not the Board of Adjustments has felt it's a good reason to get around your zoning laws. And that to me is just a little bit like what we talked about with using PUDs for development, which is you have no uniformity in your application of your zoning provisions, and it gets really difficult to say yes to one person and say no to somebody else on the exact same application, because what you're basically saying is we have a law but we're not going to apply it uniformly. The Board of Adjustment's going to pick and choose who the law applies to and who the law doesn't apply to. And I have concerns about that over the long run of the development of the city. And so that's, again, one of the reasons why I wanted to bring this in front of the council, so that we start with the council level and then push this down to the Board of Adjustments. So here, the Board of Adjustments properly found some of the members, if I'm representing their view correctly, went out and saw that there are other lots within the city that have garages and second buildings, so this isn't an unusual kind of request. But part of what the Board of Adjustment needs to consider and what the city needs to consider is whether or not this request, which is creating larger lots with a house and then a shop or whatever these gentlemen want to build, intermixed with regular kind of residential structures, whether that's the look and the kind of development that the city wants to have within town or not. And then that's part of what the Board of Adjustment is supposed to make specific findings on, whether or not this is in harmony with the overall development of the city, which nothing to do with your particular requests, but just really just generally in the city, what do you want the city to look like over time? Those were my concerns, and I think the council has the discretion to do with these applications whatever you want. You can affirm the Board of Adjustments decision, which is my understanding is a conditional approval of a second driveway conditioned on these lots being combined. You can modify their decision, you can overturn their decision, and I think you have the authority to send this back to the board for further consideration. So that's from the legal standpoint, that's how I'm viewing this. But I, again, it's the discretion is within the council how to decide, and the gentleman, the applicants have a right to be heard on whatever they want to have before you as well.
Thank you. Councilman.
Have you guys bought the building lots?
No.
Please state your name.
Yeah. I'm Dylan Sadler. So we started working this. I've been working with Greg very close on this. I think for 6 months we've been doing this. And with the Board of Adjustments. So we had a lot of issues. We were told that we had to go through the first one was planning and zoning. So we were told planning and zoning has the right to do this. So we go through planning and zoning, and then the attorney got involved and said, no, they don't have the authority for that. They said the board of directors did. And the board of directors didn't exist. It did, but there wasn't enough people. And it went months. And I actually got very, very angry. I actually talked to, or I left Monty voicemail about it, mostly the fact that we're sitting here and I'm trying to purchase these lots. I told them I would buy this if we can make it work. And the developers are waiting, and I'd like to get an answer to them because it's not fair for them to sit on. So I said, I called them, I said, we need to figure something out. Like, this board doesn't exist that you're pushing me to, which is a problem. So then we had one. So we got in, we talked to them, we explained everything to them. Basically the fact of, I talked to Greg about my plan, what I'm doing, how I'm doing it. And basically right away, he's like, we can't put it on the lot itself because it doesn't have residents. I said, okay, that makes sense. But he goes, they pitched the idea, you can zone it into one lot. And I said, okay. Why didn't you think about that? We could do that. But he goes, Greg, literally the first thing he said is that you only have one driveway. So that causes an issue, unless you want me to come for my whole entire drive, like front yard, which would make the city look horrible, in my opinion. That would be bad. So then we did the variance request. The problem with this is, like, you asked if we purchased a lot. I'm not going to buy a lot if I can't do what I can't.
I understand.
50 grand to just have a nice lot isn't worth it.
My question was, is that you got an answer, and then I didn't know if you went and bought it because you got that answer.
So I literally was in the process of it. So when I was told about it, I kind of felt bad. I think I was talking to you on the phone because I kind of lost it. So I was like, I was told 15 days. Like, Monty made a point that he has 15 days to appeal this. And I mean, on day 15, Bill called me and said 15 days, I haven't heard anything. I literally have a loan getting processed for this lot. Have I sent paperwork? No. But so I kind of was in that because I did all my stuff, everything that I was supposed to be told by the city engineer, by the councilman, and we went through the whole process. Now my agreement behind it is the secondary driveway. I'm putting a driveway where there's already one designed. I asked one of our conversations, the City Works guy, I talked with him. I said, what's the reasoning behind only having one driveway on your lot? He said, well, for snow removal, parking, everything like that. That's how they're designed. And I said, okay, cool. So I'm putting a driveway where there's one designed already to be there. I'm not messing up anything in the plans. If I own it or if someone else buys it and builds a house on it, they're putting a driveway there. I'm not messing any plans up with that. And that was where Greg and all them were like, no, that's where you're gonna be the advantage of that side because you're not messing up any plans on it. So we started moving forward on that. Now, to kind of go off the hole and you want your town looking like that, you're kind of already in it. You can't change. I mean, you have new developments with shops, right? You're not going to change that way. To be fair, growing up, that was a cool thing part of Lincoln. It was like, oh, man, you're not a big city. We don't live in New York. You can actually have your own stuff. That's a huge product. That's the reason me and my wife literally moved out here, is because of a field beside me. And then they're developing it. Obviously, it's not going as what we expect from development. So when they're able to approach us and ask if we're able to do this, and be able to take lots off, help them by buying lots, and then also turning that drainage ditch. We'd be lifting it up, changing the water, helping the water drain better where we don't have sitting water. I mean, if we aren't able to do that, we're gonna have bigger issues with just sitting water because they pulled all the culverts out. So it is a lot of good, I personally think. It's also gonna gain a lot of tax to the city too. You're not just sitting on that lot. So it comes into that kind of late plane too. Now, I personally think the variance was good the way they did it, where they said if it gets, I mean, I can't just, if I can't get that lot zoned, I can't put it threatening, right? So it takes that whole back out of it. So you're kind of safe and protected. Now, I was also told that I do not need city's approval to zone those lots. Basically, they said Gray can literally zone those. And it's something simple. So from our perspective, I was like, well, that's super easy. If I zone it in, the only thing I have is a driveway I can't do. And I mean, I can, obviously, to the Burley County and City of Lincoln, we have up to 30% of our lot we can cover in a footprint. 30% of it. So I mean, when it comes to that, you really can build whatever you want. It's not really too compliant. It's just basically follow the ordinance and stuff like that. But I do think it's not going to look horrible. We're not going to build tin shops. It's going to match my house, the garage. I basically, it's going to store my boat. That's what it's there for me. But yeah, the way our house is laid up, we just can't make a driveway. They're backwards. So we need the variance request to be able to do that. But my biggest thing is it's not affecting the street plan. Putting a driveway where it belongs. We're helping out the developers, getting rid of a lot. We're going to make it look better. It's a big ditch right now. We take care of it, as half of it already as is. So I just feel it's not a bad idea or anything like that. I do think the appeal, just the way it was worded, was a lot confused because Greg did not deny our request. He denied putting a lot on an empty lot, or building on an empty lot, which we explained we couldn't do that. So that's why we jumped to the adding the zoning together to make it one lot, where then you're able to do that. Just the secondary driveway comes into the problem.
Any questions? Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
And since you brought up the report, my understanding is that Mountain Plains, acting on the city, did recommend denying the variance?
Correct. And part of that reason was just because of we either need to have the lot combination done, and what Mr. Seiler is referring to as zoning to combine them, it's actually a proper terminology would be a lot combination. But so it's one of those difficult spots where you can't do one without the other. So if you don't have the lot combination done, you can't put an accessory building on there. But once you do that lot combination, you can have the additional driveway. So according to the ordinances, either one way or the other, we could not, from an engineering standpoint, recommend approval, because it was either going to be in a violation of this ordinance or in violation of this ordinance. So those are the main reasons. And I know from Mr. Westergaard and Mr. Seiler's standpoint, they're apprehensive on purchasing the lots and doing the combination, not knowing if they were going to get the second driveway approved. So that's, you know, part of what kind of puts everything in a bit of an awkward position to move forward.
Thank you, Greg. Any thoughts
from council? I just, on my hope,
I don't have any
problem. My question is kind of going back to the fact that the property is not owned by the applicant. So we're providing, so it was, the variance was approved on property that doesn't belong to the applicant. So we are then being asked to approve something that might have effects on the city later.
Was
so
it approved though pending the pending lot? So it's not necessarily approved on the lot unless they buy the lot.
So that was his biggest thing, is he put it, it was approval on pending you buy it. So he goes, that way, if you don't buy the lot, it voids it.
But.
Can I clarify?
Yeah.
It's approval on the lot combination, right? Which was gonna, will require a purchase, but purchasing the lot is not, is my understanding, not, is not.
So the chairman told us it was purchasing the lot, is what I was told by the board of directors.
Right, but purchasing the lot might allow you, you don't need a variance if you purchase the lot. You'll need a variance if you combine the lots.
Correct, but they can't do it on somebody that don't own, right? So you stated also, like, I don't have a building permit, right? I can't have a building permit on somebody that don't own. I'm not gonna purchase land if I can't do what I want with it. I could buy this land, right, put the variance in, you guys deny it, and then I spend 50 grand on nothing. So, which is why I agree with the chairman on the board of direct, board of adjustments when he stated, it is approval based on if you purchase it. You guys decide not to buy these lots, it voids. So you can't, and I said, no, correct, I don't need one unless I own that lot. And that's what he stated at the last meeting.
But then you circle around about.
Correct, I get like having.
Because there is no hardship if you don't own the property. And the first part of that, correct me if I'm wrong, would be that that combination goes to planning and zoning, and planning and zoning can't make a condition for a board of adjustments. So you understand where I'm going with this, and maybe I'm off, but I understand wanting assurance, but there is no assurance because of a couple things. One, the property isn't owned. Second, the zoning would go through planning and zoning to combine the lot. And then at that point, it would go to board of adjustments for approval. So.
Mayor Burgos, with the lot combination, typically, so that has to be done by a licensed surveyor.
Okay.
So the owner or these gentlemen would have to hire a surveyor to create that document and do that work. And then it's a review that we would do. And so that would be done in-house. So okay. It's just, so it wouldn't go through planning and zoning or council, the actual review of the combination, because it's just a, it's a technical process. So.
Okay. Thank you.
Have a comment? Is it possible to, I see the circle. I get the whole circle of we're caught in this loop because they don't own the land. But is it possible to do a conditional approval on any parts of this so that if they don't meet those approval, if they don't meet those conditions, it goes back and voids that situation? I get the loop. We're in a loophole that is, it's just circling. You guys are literally just circling around the whole thing because they don't own the land. We're not going to do anything with that land because they're not good lots for building homes on it. If they buy the lot, they can't build a shop on it. They can't build a house on it. The garages on the streets are, the driveways are on opposite sides of each other, so they just don't work for what they're needing to do, right? So there's this whole, it's if this, then that. Can the council, or this through this whole process, make some conditional statements and work it through that way?
So I think that the issue before the council, I think that the primary issue is whether the council believes the conditions for issuing variance have been met. It seems like the practical reason for not allowing two driveways on a lot does not really fit here. And so maybe that would have been the way for the board of adjustments to get there with findings by saying once the lots are combined, and if they're combined, then you have a larger lot where the topography of the larger lot
allows for
a second driveway because the lot now is
twice as big as initially, right? There's probably a pathway to get there. Again, my concern is that at some point, for the well-being of the city, the Board of Adjustments can't be, I don't think, a body that just simply decides based on what it thinks the merits of the project is for getting around the zoning. It really needs to be tied to your ordinance, or else we should rewrite the ordinance to just say the Board of Adjustment has some ability to grant some kind of papal dispensation for your zoning when it wants to, which is kind of what I think this, you know, you see how the discussion is. The discussion isn't about the lot and why the lot justifies a change in the zoning. It's really whether or not the project merits ignoring zoning, and that those are I think that's problematic for the city. But certainly if the council, part of the purpose of the Board of Adjustments is to avoid strict application of the zoning laws where that would not make sense, right? So there's a path there to get there. It's just you have to kind of start from that standpoint. But certainly the council can get there. The circular nature of this, we can work our way around. I just have not overviewed the lot combination. Greg and I talked about it this week. I've not overviewed the zoning, assuming that's correct, that it's an engineering decision, and that shouldn't provide any kind of impediment. So I would say that the decision tree that you're in now is whether or not you believe after these lots are combined, the topography of the lot would justify a variance on this issue, which is the second driveway. That makes sense to you, Greg?
You need to make that decision, is what you're saying. Because I personally believe that I wouldn't want it to go back to the Board of Adjustments. They're in the process of getting loans and doing this, and that's putting it back further and further and further. We now need to make this decision, right? Is that where we're at? That's what I'm asking.
Whether to uphold the decision to grant the variance that Board of Adjustments.
Yeah. Or whether, Madam Mayor, or whether or not we can change any wording to authorize the Board of Adjustments to make some changes. How would we state that? We made a decision to do something like what you were just suggesting.
Same like condition? Like
conditional.
I guess I agree with what Councilman Praska said, that just from a timing standpoint, and I'm sympathetic to what you said, right, that there was the chronology of my involvement in this is I was sitting in a planning and zoning meeting and they were going to consider a variance request, and I said, well, the law doesn't allow you to do, I mean, no,
right.
The law doesn't allow you to do that. The Board of the Planning and Zoning Committee doesn't have that authority, and then we started down that path. Well, the Board of Adjustments not meeting because it doesn't have enough members, so I'm sympathetic to that. So I suggested you could send it back to them, but I, you know, based on where they're at, I think the practical issue is what does the council want to do with this? If you're inclined to deny the appeal, which is to allow this to go forward, which is kind of seemed like that's the sentiment, then I would suggest that the condition just be that the lots be purchased and combined, and then that this variance would be granted. If the lots are purchased and combined, that gets them to a second driveway, and then they have to go through the process of siting their buildings, and that process will be a second process, which
right.
wasn't 100% clear. Like, one of the things that Greg didn't mention is with the materials you provided, there were some plans for buildings and things, but they weren't 100% clear. So I think part of the engineering recommendation for a denial was based on the fact that the setbacks and some of those other things, it was like it was going to be done in one bite instead of several, but now we're doing it in several. So I think those concerns have been alleviated as well. But that would be, I think, maybe my recommendation for the council to vote on, and denying the, I would say granting the appeal which it would be allowing the approval, but making it the condition that the lots be conversion.
Granting the appeal or denying the appeal with?
If you deny the appeal, I don't know that you can modify the decision of the Board of Adjustments.
You're basically making a new.
Okay. Then I would motion to deny or to approve the appeal with the condition that they need to combine their lot. Right? Is that what I'm saying? Purchase and combine the lot.
Councilor Prescott, would I?
I don't know how to say it.
Yeah, could I suggest that the council would grant the appeal, allow the variance based on the new combined lot size, and allow a second driveway. I mean, it's not quite the findings required by the code, but at least we're tying the decision to something to do with the lots rather than just the merits of what you're asking. Right.
Okay, so a motion to grant the appeal and allow the variance to combine the lots and add a driveway? Is that what I'm
I'll try.
I don't know what I'm saying. I'm trying to write it down, but you were too fast.
I think the motion would be that the council would approve the appeal, but grant the variance based on the combined lot size, and condition the variance on the lots, the lot combination.
Get that?
Councilmember Prescott, would you like to make that motion?
Yes. Can I make that motion? Do I have to say it?
No, I think we have it.
Okay, thank you. I wrote it down, but I could probably try it again.
No, we have it. Okay. I can see the phone transcribing what I say. So
okay, thank you. I would like to make that motion.
I'll second.
From Councilman Frasca. And a second from Councilman Davis. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? And if we can get a roll call, please.
Ms. Frasca?
Yes.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Thank you guys very much.
So by the lot combined, that once it's combined, the variance is approved for the secondary lot. Yeah.
Secondary driveway.
Thank you.
You believe how mad they are at work that much. So.
Not as mad as you were at me.
Yeah. I felt that when I did. I'm like, oh, man. Yeah.
Thank you.
I
just kept telling them, please come.
There's always a way to get things done. It just might be the different route than we initially
thought. Sometimes in circles.
Yeah. So.
Last one.
All right. So next on the agenda is the public hearing, the ordinance to amend the continuation of non-conforming uses of land, section
9-03-09.
Okay, so we will open the floor for comments. And third and final call for public hearing. So public meeting portion is over. Then we have the ordinance to amend the continuation of non-conforming uses of land. Second reading for section 9-03-09.
Madam Mayor, members of the council, as you might recall, we brought this to the council, I think maybe a month and a half ago, for a first reading. This has to do with making an adjustment for seasonal non-conforming use. extended period of time, how your ordinances are written. A non-conforming use is kind of like a grandfathered use, but once you stop using the land in a grandfathered way, and lose your ability to restart that use. And the question came up that some of the non-conforming uses might be seasonal, and so we amended the ordinance to allow for so that the seasonal nature can be taken into consideration.
I have a motion to approve the second reading. We have the first by Councilwoman Traska. Is there a second?
I'll second.
Second from Councilman Bjornstedt. All in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? And so moved.
Ms. Traska?
Yes.
Ms. Archavia?
Yes.
Ms. Davis?
Yes.
And Derek Yurz?
Yes.
All right, at this point, we will open up the public hearing for our budget 2025. Calling second for a public hearing on 2025. Third and final for discussion on budget 2025 in the City of Lincoln. Seeing hearing none, we'll carry on with agenda item 15, adopting the final 2025 budget.
Make a motion to approve the 2025 budget.
We have a first by Councilman Davis. Is there a second?
I'll second.
Second by Councilman Bjornstedt. All in favor say aye.
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 Opposed?
Aye.
Can we get a roll call, please?
Bjornstedt?
Yes.
Davis?
Yes.
Archavia?
Yes.
And Ms. Traska?
No.
Okay, motion carries. Next, we have the negotiation strategy for acquiring real property. This would be under North Dakota Century Code 44-04-19.2. This will be discussed in executive session. The legal authority for closing this portion of the meeting has been stated. The topic or purpose of the executive session is contract negotiation. At this time, a motion would be in order to discuss the next topic in executive session rather than in an open meeting. Is there such a motion?
I'll make the motion.
A motion by Councilman Bjornstedt. Is there a second?
I'll second the motion.
Second by Councilman Archavia. All in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? And so moved. The executive session will be recorded, and all members of the governing board are reminded to limit the discussion during the executive session to the announced topic. Any collective decision, collective commitment, or other final action by the governing body must occur after it reconvenes in an open meeting, unless final action is specifically required by law to be taken during the executive session. The prohibition on taking final action during the executive session does not apply to providing guidance or instruction to our attorney or negotiator. So at this point, we will ask members of the public who are attending the meeting to leave the room. We anticipate adjourning the executive session and reconvening the open portion of the meeting at approximately 7:20 p.m. p.m.